Okay, thank you, Brother Dan. I welcome here this night in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I welcome all those that are on the live stream. It's a blessing to be here this night. I usually start my sermon with Psalm 118, and I'm going to do it again. Psalm 118, 24, it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, as every day, this is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord and rejoice, giving God the glory. You know, and so this night, I'm going to title my sermon, I'm going to title it, Blessings for God, from God. And I looked up the definition of blessing, and it says, a favor or gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness, and he brings us happiness if we will trust in him. The invoking of God's favor upon a person. You know, the Lord has blessed me in my life. You know, does this mean that everything goes exactly how I want it to go? You know, and the answer is no, not always. You know, we have that predetermined thoughts in our lives of the way we think things should go, and they don't always go our way. But God blesses us in everything we do. God has a plan in our lives. He blesses us so that we can grow in our spiritual lives. You know, this year, with the state of our country, with the pandemic, our day-to-day lives have changed. You know, I think everybody will agree here. You know, and about 6 months ago, in March, the reality of the pandemic had spread across the United States. You know, our lives began to change, you know, and I don't like change, and I think most people don't like change. We're in our mode, and, but lives, we had to change. You know, we could not freely do the daily activities that we take for granted. You know, companies started having their employees work from home if it was possible. You know, if we left our homes, we had to wear masks. You know, and we still do. We regularly use hand sanitizer. You know, your hands dry out because you're using so much hand sanitizer. You know, we push open doors with arms and with feet. And, and we are not able to shake hands, give hugs, you know, to each other. You know, and we don't like the change. You know, but we do what we need to do for our health and safety. You know, but I want to state that through all these changes, the Lord has blessed me abundantly. You know, although we could not physically meet together and worship our God the last couple months, the Temple Lot's been able to do it, maybe 3 months. We were able through technology and the efforts of our brothers and sisters to worship. And what a blessing it's been. In late March, my employer contacted me to inform me that due to the pandemic and loss in sales, they were eliminating my position, so I no longer had a job. These weren't words I wanted to hear. You know, I needed my job, but was I worried? No. You know, I put my trust in God. He gave me the comfort, the peace, knowing that he was there with me. You know, since I was out of a job, though, many blessings happened. I have type 2 diabetes, and you probably heard that I went on an exercise regimen. I started eating healthy. About a month ago, I went to the doctor, and because I was eating better and I was exercising, I had been at a 9 on my A1C, which is high. And I dropped to a 7, you know, and I still need to work on it. You know, it's so easy to, now that things have changed, I'm back in a normal routine, it's so easy to slip back in those bad habits of eating, not eating the things we should, not exercising as much as I should. At the end of May, so here I lose my job in the end of March. You know, the end of May, we took my mom to the hospital. You know, she was in the hospital less than a week. She passed away. You know, it's hard to lose a loved one. But I was blessed that week. You know, I was because I was laid off from my job, I spent every day in the hospital with her. And we talked. You know, I could show her the love I had for her. She showed the love for me. And I realized that she was ready to be with our Lord. You know, what a blessing. You know, if I couldn't have been with her and talked to her so much, you know, would I have known that, you know, she was ready? I mean, I know she's always longed for that, like all of us. You know, we're never ready for that final. But when the hospice nurses came in and on that Friday, and we didn't know that she would go so quick, but they came in and they gave her that, said, okay, we're just going to make you comfortable. We're going to, you know, we're going to make you comfortable, and, you know, it could be, we don't know how long. And so they left, and I got with my mom, and I thought, how would I feel if I just heard that? So I told her, you know, it could be a few weeks, it could be months. And she said, oh, no. She wanted it to be soon. And sure enough, the next morning, 6 a.m., they called me and said she had passed away. But what a blessing. That day before, that Friday before she passed on that Saturday morning, I had said, you know, what is your favorite scripture? And you know, being her son and the love she had, and every time I would preach, she would say, you're reading all my favorite scriptures. So I didn't know which one was her favorite, but she said, you know, she mentioned to me Alma 19, and we all know this one, Alma 19, chapter 19, verse 43 and 44, says, behold, it hath been made known unto me by an angel, that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from the mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received in a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all their care and sorrow. You know, I was blessed to know that my mom had lived her life serving our Lord. You know, she was the organist here, and she praised our God in all ways, and that she was at peace. She wasn't afraid that she would be, and she was ready to be with our Lord. You know, are we living our lives following God's commandments with the hope of eternal life with our Heavenly Father? You know, are we living our lives? I know we all want it. I know we all know what we need to do. But are we truly following the commandments of God? I'm going to turn in the Book of Mormon. Actually, the Book of Mormon, chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 92 through 94. It's on page 712. And I'm going to start kind of in the middle of 92. On 7:12, it says, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever you shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing. Begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart. And work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken, that ye shall yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. You know, are we serving God with all our zeal and enthusiasm? You know, are we giving him our all? You know, it took me 5 months to be blessed with another job. You know, and I'll tell you, I'm happily employed now. And it is a blessing. You know, I had applied for several jobs, thought I was going to have to change professions, had good interviews, was willing to take a reduction in pay. But they didn't. You know, the interviews went great. And then I would get a letter that said, there was lots of good candidates and you're not the one, you know. So, you know, I thought I was going to be Chobani yogurt guy. I thought I was going to be stocking the shelves and talking to the produce managers. And it was less pay than I made. But I thought, let me try a new profession. But it didn't work out. You know, God had a different plan for me. You know, I started working, went full-time a couple weeks at Macy's. And I think I did that. I'm sure that I pushed to do that so I could start getting benefits. But after working retail for not much money and 8 hours a day on my feet with the public, I think I did that and it taught me a lesson that I didn't want to do that forever. And so, you know, so I was there in Macy's though, and a customer came up and she was wearing this t-shirt and it said, "This is my time, Jeremiah 29:11. And so let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Ken, I'm going to start with verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." You know, are we calling on the Lord? Are we calling on him daily? You know, are we seeking the Lord with all of our heart? You know, we must focus on the Lord and put our trust in him. You know, I had I had a couple more interviews. I had applied for a job and I had a interview with the general manager, went great. Then they had me go with who would be my boss and who is my boss in Minnesota on the computer, and I talked on there. Everything went great. They told me it was a new position. It would probably be a couple weeks, but everything went so good. And it had been a week and I didn't hear anything. So I started rethinking in my mind, okay, did I say something wrong? What did I do, you know? So it's probably been 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I was up in front at the East Local and I asked, you know, people prayed for me to find a job, you know, all through this time. But I asked specifically, you know, can you pray for me in my job search? And that was on Sunday. On Monday, I get the call. You know, I was blessed. I didn't have changed professions. You know, I'm in an envelope company instead of a printing company. But, you know, God blesses us. You know, I received a little bit better money than I had been making back in March. Everything is good. I just got back from Minnesota. I was in Minnesota this last week. I drove through Iowa and saw we have a plant in Lenexa. That's where I work, in a cave. And then we have a plant in Nevada, Iowa, and then which is out of Des Moines. And then we have a plant, which is our corporate office in Plymouth, Minnesota, right at Minneapolis. And the Lord blessed me. No problems as I traveled there, traveled back. When I was, you know, they're just good people there. It's going to be a great job. And I've been blessed. You know, the Lord knew. I know if I would have gotten offered one of these other jobs, I would have taken it. You know, I wanted to be employed. But God knew the plan in my life, and he has blessed me so. You know, and so my title here is Blessings from God. He has blessed me so. I know he has blessed you so. You know, the owner of my new company, he sends out an email, and it's a thought of the day. And I want to read this thought of the day. It was the second day I was there. And the thought of the day, I want to read it and ask us to apply it to our spiritual lives. And this thought said, Someday is not a day of the week, but today is. So it says, today I will, number one, attack this day with enthusiasm. So I ask us, with our God, you know, do we start our day with enthusiasm? Do we ask the Lord to guide us in our day? You know, we need to. We need to, and he will bless us. You know, number two was stay positive. You know, do we have a good attitude? Do we look at others, at the good in others? You know, do we look at them and look for the good, not for their faults? Number three was be thankful. You know, do we give God the glory for the blessings in our lives? Do we praise him? Are we thankful? And do we know where we receive our blessings? Number four said, learn, improve, grow. You know, are our eyes open to the blessings around us? Are we ready to learn from the testimonies and experiences of our brothers and sisters? You know, do we study the scriptures? Do we come to church to be fed so that we can learn and grow in our spiritual lives? And number five is be a blessing to others. You know, do we ask God to guide us in our lives so that we can show God's love to all those that we come in contact with? And do we look to see how we can be a blessing to all? I wasn't going to say this, but because yesterday, you know, I had this sermon on my mind. Actually, I was supposed to preach next week, and I had Brian McIndoe is going to be in town, and so I had sent to Dan, and I should have known this would happen, which was fine, but I said to him, hey, would you rather have Brian McIndoe next week? And he said, that would be fine, but are you open this Sunday to preach? And so I, of course, I said, sure. And I had, so Thursday night, I was in my hotel room and was able to prepare. And this sermon has been on my mind. And so just for the last couple days. But yesterday, I was on my way to, I went and ministered to our sister Debbie, Debbie Case, and then I had to run to work at Macy's. And on the way, I had just enough time, and I thought, I'll go stop at Quick Trip, get my Diet Coke. And I went to go into Quick Trip, and I see this lady in her van. She had children, and she just looked worried. She looked like something was wrong. And so I went inside. Then when I came back out, I saw her, and I looked at her, and she still looked worried. And, you know, because be a blessing to others was on my mind, and I'm going to keep it on my mind. I think, you know, have I thought of this all the time? No, but I am now. And so I dig in my billfold, and I get some money out, and just as she starts to pull out of the park, pull back. And I go over there to her car, and now I think of it, oh, I could have scared her, but I didn't. And I said, are you okay? You know, are you okay? Can I give you some? And she, and so here's the thing. It was, she said, no, I was just waiting for my pizza. So here it was, I thought, in my mind, here I was ready to help somebody, and she didn't take my money, but she did say thank you. And I think she had this car full of kids. I think her probably young 12-year-old child wasn't getting the pizza. She was probably worried watching the door, making sure everything was fine. But, you know, is it okay I did this? I think it's okay I did this. I want to do this, you know. And if she was in need, I would have helped her, you know. And I think of myself, though, I think I'm probably ashamed that I don't think of that all the time. So put in your mind, how can we be a blessing to others? Let's see here. I want to turn to Matthew 5. You know, we all know this, Matthew 5, 1 through 16. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Beatitudes. It's been preached upon many times, but it's... You know, it tells of blessings and from God. And Jesus is speaking here, and on the fifth chapter of Matthew, and I'll start with one, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, would we be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Do we carry our love of the Lord on our shoulder where others can see? You know, we should. And we don't want to be persecuted, but if we're doing it for the Lord, then it's good. You know, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And here's 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, do we glorify our God? You know, we've heard this passage and explained each one of those on how to be the people that are blessed. You know, God blesses us every day. You know, Jesus gives us this instruction. You know, it tells us how we should be in our day-to-day life. You know, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, do we give God the glory? Do we share the love of God to all? Do we ask God to guide us and lead us in our lives to be a blessing to others? You know, I said that before, and it needed to be repeated again. You know, do we serve our God in all things? Psalm 1, I'm going to read Psalm 1. And I'm going to begin with 1. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You know, do we meditate day and night thinking of our Lord? "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You know, and I know we don't want to perish. We want to be godly. We want to follow, be followers of God. You know, we want to please him. You know, but let's each truly ask ourselves the question, are we putting God first in our lives? Are we giving him our all? Are we doing what we need to do? You know, I know every one of us here want to serve our God, want to do the right thing, but have it first and foremost in your mind. You know, do we look at others with the love of God and ask God's guidance in being a blessing. I told our sister Belinda my little story about the pizza, about the lady in the pizza, and she said, "I've done it many times." And it's, you know, we have to figure out the situation. We have to be mindful and not just give to all, but we need to think in our minds and give to those in need. You know, we need to think, how can we be a blessing? You know, I want to turn in the hymnal to 158. And of course, this is Make Me a Blessing. And I'm going to read the words here. I love singing and I love music. And I know with our music, the words have been inspired by our God. And 158, it says, out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad, carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. And it says in the chorus, make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. You know, if we sing this in our mind, and then I like to sing lots of music in my mind. So if we can sing this in our mind, you know, where are our thoughts going to be? Our thoughts are going to be to God. And God has been that example to us that we can share his love to others. I'm getting mixed up here, but okay, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are saved by grace, the grace of God. You know, but as in verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, we're saved by grace. We cannot be saved by anything we do, but we must strive to do what is right. You know, we are, for verse 10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, I want to turn to Mosiah chapter 1, and this is on page 215. So Mosiah chapter 1, 215, verse 88, and it says, for behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. No, let me start in 88. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. You know, God will bring us that joy. We need to keep his commandments. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they might dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. You know, do we want to be happy? You know, do we want this never-ending happiness? Yes, we do. Do we want this eternal life with God? I'm going to turn over to Alma 16, page 422. And Alma 16, page 422, two verses there, 137, 138, it says, yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins, endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble. because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word, or even compelled to know before they will believe. You know, do we believe in God? Do we, you know, it's right there, it shows we must be humble. We must know where everything comes from. We must humble ourselves unto God and not think that we can do it on our own, but that we must truly humble ourselves to the Lord and develop that personal relationship with our God. I'm going to turn to Ether 5, and this is on page 748. And this is one our brother Darren reads a lot. I read it, and it's on humbleness also. Page 748. And I'm going to start with 27, and it said, "And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness." You know, I was applying for these jobs. I felt weakness. I felt humbled. I got down on my knees and asked the Lord for a blessing. You know, I still had that faith, that trust in him, but there's sometimes then when you just feel helpless, and God wants us to humble ourselves unto him. And it says, "I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness." You know, do we have the faith in God? You know, with faith, we have hope. And then charity, the pure love of Christ, you know, do we possess that in our lives? You know, the Lord will give us the strength we need. You know, we need to exercise our faith and trust in him. We need to seek him with all of our heart. I'm going to turn to Alma 16 on page 429. So Alma 16, page 429, I'm going to start with 218. It says, "Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all of your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in their wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you." You know, do we humble ourselves unto him? Do we, God, there, as it says in there, you know, pray, 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 morning, midday, evening. And then when you're not praying, think of him. You know, have him in your heart. You know, do we have him in our heart? You know, he wants our attention. He wants our thoughts all of the time, not just some of the time. I'm going to turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to start with verse 1, Philippians chapter 2. And it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, do we look at others, not look at their faults, but look for the good? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow of things in the heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, do we like to complain? Do we like to murmur? I mean, we all have faults, but do it without murmuring. Do it to serve our God. You know, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, let your light so shine in the world. Let light, God's light shine through you. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered unto the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice in me. You know, let's rejoice and praise the Lord. You know, we can have that joy with the Lord. I have a poem here. I have a few more scriptures after this. I usually like end with my poem, so I'm not quite done. But I have a poem here, and it's by Helen Steiner Rice, and it is Showers of Blessings. And it says, each day there are showers of blessings sent from the Father above, for God is a great lavish giver, and there is no end to his love. His grace is more than sufficient. His mercy is boundless and deep. And his infinite blessings are countless, and all this were given to keep. If we but seek God and find him, and ask for a bounteous measure of this holy, immersible offering from God's inexhaustible treasure. For no matter how big man's dreams are, God's blessings are infinitely more. For always God's giving is greater than what man is asking for. You know, he gives us abundantly, you know, and we don't deserve it, but he gives us that love, and he forgives us if we will repent of our sins. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You know, I want to turn to 3 Nephi, page 640, 3 Nephi 5. And another one we all know, it's start with 110. Lay not up yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, where is our treasure? Is our treasure with the Lord? Is our treasure with physical things around us? You know, let's have our treasure with the Lord. You know, we need our thoughts above, thinking of God in all things. Let's turn to Moroni 10, the very last page of the book. It's in the Book of Mormon, page 777. And I'm going to start with 29. So Moroni 10, 777, 29 and 30, it says, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Deny yourself of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourself of all ungodliness, and love God with all of your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot." You know, we strive to be holy without spot. And we have that avenue of repentance. Our brother Rick talked on repentance today. You know, we are blessed with that avenue because, you know, even if we try to be perfect, you know, we must strive to be perfect from that example the Lord has given us. But we will falter, and we have that avenue of repentance, and he forgives us. He forgives us and gives us that joy. I want to turn to Romans 12. Just two more. Romans 12, and I'm going to start with 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." You know, be there for our brothers and sisters. You know, be that shoulder to cry on, or be that person to lift them up. Think of others more than ourselves. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And, you know, we think, is that possible? You know, we're all different. We all have different personalities. But think how our Lord would be. You know, think, you know, it can be done. You know, hold true to your standards, but show that love one to another, and be that, shine that light that God has given us, that wants us to shine. The last scripture is Ephesians 6, and it's for how we should be. Ephesians 6. I'm going to start with 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know, we can be strong. If he's with us, we can be strong with his power. "Put on the whole armor of God." You know, it doesn't say, do a little bit, but it's put on that whole armor. of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, we need everything, every protection we can to withstand the trials in our lives. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all. You know, lift up our prayers. Lift up for all those in need. Think of others more than ourselves. You know, Romans 8:29 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, to them who are called according to his purpose. I explained the last 6 months of my life, you know, and the Lord has blessed me abundantly in my life. I haven't been worried. I mean, I had moments of wanting the job or, you know, moments of a little worry, but I put my trust in God and I wasn't worried. He blessed me. I lost my job. I lost my mom. We might think to ourselves, we might say, oh man, poor me. You know, think of ourselves. But think of the blessings, you know, how he blessed me through all of this. You know, he gave me the blessings. We need to not think of poor me, you know, think of ourselves, but think to God of those blessings. He gives us blessings in every situation. You know, we want everything to go perfect, and I wish everything went perfect. But through these trials, through things, he strengthens us. He gives us that strength. And through our struggles, you know, he gives us joy. You know, the joy that the Lord brings us, you know, through the challenges of life. And so I want to challenge each of us to recognize the blessings that God has given in our lives. You know, think in your lives, think to yourselves, and praise God. Give him the glory and praise. You know, and I also want us to look for ways that we can share God's blessings with others. So, you know, we might make a mistake and try to help somebody out and they don't need help. You know, that's okay. You know, still, I'm going to try again, you know, and I'm going to put these thoughts in my heart that I'm hoping I can be strong. And the only way to be strong is with our Lord. I'm going to end with where I started. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I'm so happy that I'm here this night. You know, in a few months, we'll all be together. You know, we've had a wonderful time at the East Local serving our God. But my brother Dan and me had talked too that, you know, to be strong, I think by joining together, we can be stronger. We all need each other. We need each other. And to make it through our life as we give those testimonies, as we praise our God, as we need that strength, and we can have that strength from all our brothers and sisters. So I'm excited about coming to the temple lot. And, you know, I grew up in the temple lot, so it's easy for me that the 40 years of my life, I'll say I'm 40. I've probably been baptized 40 years or a little. No, I've been baptized about 50 years, 49 years. But It's a blessing to be here this night with you. I want to praise God, give him the glory, and just remember, look to give God's blessing to those you see this week. So this week, have the thought of God to guide you. Ask him in your prayers to guide you to bless someone this day. So thank you very much, and I praise God.